Hey everyone, how are you? You're so welcome here this week. I have been a little bit under the weather, so I actually lost my voice, would you believe? It's not ideal when you host a podcast to lose your voice. But I'm out the other side, thank God. But today's episode is a bonus one that I recorded earlier. I recorded this with the intention of getting it out over the Christmas. Didn't happen, but it is a phenomenal chat that I had with a previous guest called Sophia Murphy. Before we get into it, I wanted to really tell you about something I've been working on as well. I have created a membership for people who are looking for extra support after the podcast, after the funeral, after the loss, when everything settles down and everybody goes back to their life. Where do you go to get that extra support? And so what I've created, it's a private members only space. And I have named it after the flowers. And you will have access to things like the podcast in video format. A lot of people want to watch the podcast in full. So in there, you'll have access to all of the video episodes. We will have things like Zoom support calls for all different types of loss. We will have a community space where people can chat. You can talk to each other or you can just sit quietly and read. There's going to be so much support in there. There's going to be stuff like meditation, breath work, etc. as we go on. So that's it. It opens on Tuesday. If you are interested, there is going to be a link in the show notes here. But for now, please enjoy this catch up with Sophia. And thank you for being here. Talk to you soon, guys. So hello, I am back and I'm virtual and I am doing the first of my catch ups. And it's a bonus episode. And what I wanted to do was go back and talk to some previous guests. And one person jumped out amongst many. And that was Sophia Murphy. And I'm joined by Sophia today. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? Good to see you.
So good. You. So what I wanted to do, as I said, was check back in with people and see how they've been since the podcast. And it's to really just, I suppose, get your thoughts on how you navigate Christmas, how Christmas was for you in the past, what you miss, how you get through those tough days and all that kind of thing. But with you, I'd love to start off with, since I last saw you, you've gotten engaged to lovely yes. Peter.
Yes, I have. Yeah, we got engaged last March, just before my 40th. It was a big surprise, but it was a lovely surprise. It's like, Kathy, I really am living a dream. Like I really am. It's like a life like I couldn't have imagined. Like, but saying that, the healing has been challenging, but it's been so worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just do a quick recap. So when you come on to speak to me, we focused really on a non-traditional loss, and there was multiple loss, but one of the things that we spoke about obviously was childhood sexual abuse, and abuse in general, and that was at the hands of your father. So it was a most complex, devastating, heartbreaking situation. You spoke so openly and honestly on that first podcast with me about that. And, you know, through that, you then explained the loss of your beautiful sister, Steph, who had also suffered at the hands of your dad, and she, you know, lost her life through addiction. And you know, you'd been through so much, and you were so open, and my God, did it hit a nerve with people. Again, just, it's so complex, it's not straightforward. There's so many types of loss, the loss of your childhood, the loss of your identity, everything, the loss of your, you know, your father when he went to jail, all of those things you spoke about so honestly. And, you know, since then, you only this week, you know, had a meeting with your father in jail because you were going through the restorative justice process. Do you want to speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, I done restorative justice and it's mad. I actually done it only a month before I was on with you last time as well. Mm. And when I done that last time, I was like, that's it. That's my goodbyes with my father done. But since then, I started counselling with an amazing counsellor last January, because Christmas for me last year was extremely hard. It was extremely hard for so many different reasons, and the grief of Steph being the main one. But when I do believe the last restorative justice was more surface level for me, because the stuff that's come up in counselling over the last, since last January, has been like the memories, because at counselling, it's a meditative counselling I do. So like, it's very visual for me. So I've gone back, Cathy, and I've seen like a lot of horrific stuff that I went through as a child. And it showed me how much I dissociated as a kid, because not that long ago, say about May or June, I was up in my bedroom and I was after going through a really, really intense counselling session, and I got an awful pain in my groin and I couldn't walk for 3 days. And then I kept picturing that little four or five, that little girl just pacing the flat with the streetlights on outside. So that's the first time I actually remembered the rape. Do you know, it was like, wow, my body felt it, and it was intense. And when all that was going on, I was like, I need to go in and see him once more. I need to, because I gave him so much when I was there last time. And after I was there last time, Cathy, I thought this was strange, but the probation system have told me it's quite common. He ended up paralyzed. His whole immune system shut down. So he was removed from Aberhill to the medical wing in Portlaoise. And the probation officer said to me that that's quite common in predators. When their victim survivor goes in to do the restorative justice, their bodies are left with the impact. They transfer energies almost, which I was like, I thought it was just like, well, that's just a coincidence and stuff. But when the probation officer said it, I was like, wow, it's actually is something. And another time, for a couple of months, I was getting a really bad itch in my body at nighttime. I couldn't settle in bed. And my counselor said to me, she's like, that's your father is thinking about you. And I got this image in my head of this like black figure sitting in a cell at the edge of a bed, and all these like images, like, do you know, like the hashtags and all those bubble writing stuff. And my counselor told me to say, stop thinking about me, or you no longer have control of me. Cathy, I'm not messing. Within a week, the itch stopped. It's like intense. And the more these things were happening, the more I was thinking, I need to go into him, because what happened last time, what I gave him, and it opened up so many doors for me. I need to go in and give him what I've learned now, because I'm moving away and he's not getting any younger. His health isn't good. And I'm not carrying this with me for the rest of my life, because what I offloaded before was, oh, it was powerful. And what I offloaded the last day was, it was like, I can't even put words on it. It was powerful. I went in with questions. I didn't get all the answers I wanted, but I got so much more, because he told me so much more. Like, as I was explaining to you in a message, in counselling at the start, I was getting this intense pain in my arm and I couldn't figure out what it was at all. And my counsellor was asking, like, did you hurt your arm as a kid and all this? And I couldn't pinpoint this pain. And out of nowhere, the last day when I was doing the restorative justice, he said, when you were small, I was asking him questions about other stuff. And he said, when you were small, I was walking down the stairs in front of you and I picked you up by the arm and your arm came out of its socket. And that's it. Even him saying that was such an offload, because now I knew where this pain came from. It was like, oh. And what I got from the meeting there and then, I can't imagine what I'm going to get further on the line with my counselling and doing my inner work and stuff like that. It's just, I know I'm going to get so much from it for so many reasons. Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, I was saying to you, it's like that book, isn't it? The Body Keeps the Score. Like you, yeah. The fact you could feel this pain and didn't know where it was from, and the fact that he decided to bring that to you, you know, you had never known this and you wouldn't have known it unless he told you. What does that do for you though, to know? Is it that you feel you're not going crazy?
Oh, that and so much more, Cathy, because it's like at my age as well, I'm 40, I'm not getting any younger. So any aches and pains and stuff like that can be worrying too. But no, on a serious note, it is like, it's such a relief for me, because for him to tell me and for me not to be guessing, is that what it is? Because as I was saying, my counselling is very visual and I'm getting these images and stuff. And for him telling me, I'll know that if I do get this memory, that I'm not going insane, because that has happened with different things in the past for me. So it is like that. It's reassurance. And it also helps you accept other things that might come into your head, because if that happens and something else you think of course, it's 90% sure it did happen.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think you hadn't done it. Had you done the first session when you came on the podcast with me?
I had just done it less than a month before that.
You had just done it. So, you know, for people that don't understand that, obviously, I mean, there's so much context to it and lead up to it. And obviously, go back and listen to the first episode that we did. But also, you have a podcast yourself, which I'll explain later. And you speak so much about it on there. I think for a lot of people, number one, a lot of people have never heard of it. What is it, you know, a lot of people would say, why would you go back? Why would you want to face to you and your loss and your loss of your childhood and everything? Like, it's been so powerful and transformative for you. And I know that from listening to you speak about it for so many months now. You're an advocate almost for it in the right situation, of course. I know it does have to be, everything has to align and there's so much to it. But I suppose it has helped you along your healing journey of loss, has it?
Yes. Oh, it really has. Like, going in to see my father, as you say, some people might be like, why? But even though he is a paedophile and he is a predator, he's also my father. And I really did believe for me to move on with my life, I had to go in and tell him the damage he'd done to me. And like last time I went in and I said it to him, like I said, you should be done for murder. Because of you, my sister is dead. My nieces and nephew are left without a mom. My daughter is left without an aunt. My brother-in-law without a wife, and so on and so on and so on. The ripple effect. And even after doing that, that helped me accept as well that Steph was gone, because I was in there speaking her voice for her also. And when you do stuff like that in life, and we start, myself and Steph started this journey together of the reports, the statements and all that. And when you do something like that, the first thing you want to do is come out and ring Steph and say, hey, Steph, this is how that went. And you can't make that phone call. It's shit, you know. And it's that event also I went to that you invited me to. It's the night I came home from that. That's the first night I cried in grief for Steph, because it was okay.
And you got that chance maybe to separate her loss and the loss of Steph and the whole way it's mixed up with your father, that maybe it gave you that time to just separate it and just grieve her and her alone and separate from everything that had happened. But, you know, I think this is the thing, is that your loss really all began through this man, you know, your father. He caused all of the loss. He started all of that loss, you know, the loss of your childhood, the loss of him. You didn't ask to lose your father, and you did. You didn't ask to lose your mother. All of that, your whole family life was shattered. Steph absolutely died as a result of what happened. So look, you know, I suppose that for you, again, it's all loss. We spoke about loss. It's just not straightforward. But, you know, I felt so powerful about the way you spoke about losing your childhood. And what we're talking about today is I suppose, with a Christmas theme. Mm-hmm. And for most people that I will talk to, I'll ask them about their Christmas memories. But I don't know how strong or how happy your memories were. And one of the most poignant moments of our last conversation is when I asked you, did you have happy moments? And you thought about it for a few minutes and you said no. And like, I'll never forget that moment. It just broke my heart. Do you have any sort of happy Christmas memories with Steph?
It's mad you brought that up, because I was just going to say that I actually spoke to Peter or Sarah, I think it was Peter, about happy memories. And I was thinking of when I said that on your podcast, and when I thought back and thought, when I was in counselling, I could remember happy times, but they weren't they weren't Christmas, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like you say, it was Steph. It was seeing the excitement in her, because I'm going to tell a tale on myself here. Every Christmas, Kathy, I found everything. It was never a surprise to me. I think from the age of four, I came across my bike. And after that, then the magic of Christmas was gone. So like that, it was never happy memories for me. It was always happy memories for Steph. And then when Michaela came along, do you know, that sort of way, because I was thinking, because that clip came up before and I was trying to think back, did I? And my counselor was explaining, they weren't your memories. They were the memories of other people's Christmas that made me happy.
Wow. That's so sad once again.
Even saying that like sounds a bit surreal. Like I can hear the vibration in my voice, like so sad for that little girl.
Yeah. 4 years of age, like that you didn't really ever, because you don't remember two and three, really, you wouldn't have strong memories of a present being in front of you or whatever. But to think that you probably never actually experienced Christmas and Santa properly.
No, Santa was never there for me, because as I said, I found that bike when I know I was about four, because Steph was there and she was born when I was three and a half. So I know I was four.
Oh my God, that's just absolutely devastating. How do you feel about that?
I feel sad for like that little girl, but nothing surprises me, do you know, that sort of way.
Yeah.
Looking back, like nothing surprises me.
Yeah, it's part and parcel of the whole thing.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's all the web effect of it. Do you know, it's like one day in life kind of leads into another. So it's like you're never really thinking of what's going on. Do you know, it's like one of my friends said to me before, when all the statements and stuff and all that sort was going on, she was like, if I wasn't part of your life every day, I wouldn't believe half the stuff you told me. Do you know, like just so much went wrong. Like even with Steph getting sick, for example, doing the statements, I was getting sick and just everything was kind of going wrong. It was just the energy was just so messed up around everyone and everything. And obviously it's been like that since I was a baby.
Yeah. It's just one of the most cruel things to hear, as a fellow human, to hear that a little child was not only hurt in the worst imaginable way,
uh-huh,
but even all those secondary losses that you didn't. It's just that hurts me so much to think of any little child, uh-huh, that is 4 years of age that isn't, you know, that isn't special and important enough for someone to want to hide the toys properly to make sure that they get a moment of magic. Like it's just devastating. And, you know, it is a loss. It's a real loss. And it's a part of your story. And I guess that's why you do these things. The restorative justice makes sense. You need to know things. You need to say things that have happened as a result. You know, that what it has done to your life, really, you know.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Steph, when you are coming up to Christmas, do you really feel her? I'm sure you feel her loss every day of the week, every moment, every morning, every evening. But, you know, I suppose with Christmas in mind, because you guys were such allies, because again, she received the same amount of abuse and lack of love that you did.
Yeah.
So nobody in the world can understand that more than someone who went through it as well in the same house. So how much does that loss affect you, especially around this time of year when all anyone is talking about is family and home for Christmas and love and this and that and the other? I imagine that has a huge impact on you now.
Last Christmas was very, very hard, because the Christmas she passed away, I was bad in addiction. The Christmas after that, I was in early recovery, so that's what I was focusing on. The Christmas after that, I was working around the clock. I was dissociated from myself a lot. last year was like, oh God, it really hit me, because it's like that I was living this life that I was so happy in now, and everyone is out doing their Christmas shopping, and it's like you say, all that stuff on social media, and it wasn't even thinking of Steph as in now, it was really thinking of Steph as in childhood, and I was feeling really sorry for her. It brought a lot of stuff that she went through up for me, because it's only in the recent months that I've started grieving for Steph as an adult. I was always grieving for Steph as a child. And I think last Christmas was breaking point for me with my grief, because it's after Christmas I went searching for counselling, because there was times where I was thinking, is this going to be the rest of my life? Am I going to be feeling like this forever? Because nothing I was doing, I was living this beautiful life, a life I had dreamed of, but I couldn't understand why I wasn't feeling, I don't know, it satisfied be the right word, but I just wasn't feeling connected with myself and stuff like that. And I really do believe it was the loss, because I was starting to realize, I was starting now to grieve for Steph as an adult, and that's where it was getting more real for me. Do you know that sort of way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As time moves on, it all changes, and it's different phases, and it probably is scary to think, like, you know, that's another phase and part of your life, and what's going to happen when you turn 55 or 60? Are you going to go back into another, you know, phase and miss her in a different way? You know, it is, it's never ending, really, the loss, you know?
It is, yeah. Because when I started counselling, everything was about Steph. And when I was about, I'd say when I was about 2 months in, my counsellor was like, she's like, we're going to have to start making this about you now. You know, she's like, I know you're missing Steph and stuff like that. And out of nowhere, I was sitting on the chair opposite her, and I was closing my eyes, and I was going into this beautiful meditative state, and there was this big lion's mouth in front of me, and there was my granddad, who I absolutely adored, and Steph holding his hand as a little child walking through the lion's mouth.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that it looked so real. And she looked back at me and made such eye contact with me. And since I had that, it's got a lot easier for me. It has got so much easier. And I'm getting signs constantly from Steph, constantly. Like, about 2 months ago, there was what everyone else was calling a moth, and I was saying it's a butterfly, and it was up near the roof of this, and up on the ceiling, and it was there for ages and it wasn't moving. And I kept checking on it every now and again, and nothing. The day of Steph's birthday a few weeks ago, Peter called me and he was like, the butterfly had moved halfway down the wall, but still we hadn't seen it open at this stage. And he was saying it's a moth. My daughter was saying it's a moth. So the day after, Steph's girls came down to the house, and I went up to my bathroom, and it was in my bathroom still looking like a moth. So the next day, this is mad, like the next day, like coming up to this, everything that was going on in me was all about letting go, coming up to the restorative justice and all that. And I went into the spare bedroom, and kid me not, there was this orange butterfly around the skylight, like fighting for its life to get out the window. I was like, Peter, look at this. And the goosebumps all over me. But I knew once I opened that window, the butterfly was going to go out and it was going to die. But the butterfly had to go out. It was insane. And that all happened the day that Steph's girls were here. And I was just like, she's ready. She's telling me it's time to let her go.
Oh, Sophia. Oh.
Yeah, it's like, I have video proof of it. I said, no one's going to believe this. And yeah, it's like, and last year, the day of her birthday, her girls were here as well. And the light out in the hallway was just flickering like mad. And it never done that before, and it never done it after. And I was saying to the girls, look, mommy's here dancing with you. Like, and Lily Mae was like, oh, do you know, just, she didn't say that's mad, do you know, but she went along with it. Yeah.
Yeah, they love that. You know, you spark, little kiddos love that kind of thing, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. But yeah, Kathy, she's like, She's letting me know I'm doing the right thing. And like Cathy, I know she is because people have said it to me and I see it myself, the strength that like I have had and have kept going. And especially over the last year with the amount of counselling I've done and healing I've done and different modalities of healing, like it's the strength I've had to do that. Like I do believe that she is giving me some form of energy to keep me pushing through. Like I would never have believed in any of this sort of stuff before Steph passed away, but it's not a coincidence. It's not.
No, I know. But it even goes back to what you were saying earlier about energy and even, you know, from the trauma that your body could feel it or that the energy was passed on when you did the restorative justice to them. Like energy is a real thing and you can feel it. And I believe, where does that go? It continues on, you know?
100%.
So coming up to Christmas this year, because it was such a big year last year in terms of like your grief, what are you doing this year? You getting the hell out of here?
I am getting the hell out of here, but of course you can. I do believe that if my grief comes up, I'm just going to let it flow because you have to. It's grief, it's sadness, you know, it's like, and it's more than just grief for Steph this year. It's going to be grief because I'm moving away from my daughter. It's grief of starting a new life, you know, like grief isn't just death, like grief is, it can be a beginning, you know, it's just, it's you're moving on from something, like, you know, and like I now know Steph is happy and Steph is safe. And like some days it comes into my head and it's like hearing it for the first time that she's dead, do you know? And I like, not that I like hearing that, but it gives me a feeling of acceptance. Do you know, it's like, yes, she is dead and she's not coming back. And it's accepting that. And I really do believe I have accepted it. And I do feel the grief is different. It's weird. Now when I feel the grief, I feel it like a ton of bricks. It's like, it's heavy. But I'm able to sit with it. I talk to Steph a lot. I embrace it. I don't try and block it away and push it away. If I want to cry my heart out, I am going to do it. I don't be like, no, you can't cry. You need to be strong. You need to be this. Being strong for everybody else just makes yourself weaker. Do you know, you're only making yourself sick. You're not doing yourself any favors. And I really do believe that grief needs to be heard. It needs to be seen. And it needs to get out. And I do believe if you do it in a healthy way, and not blocking it down, it prevents illnesses, so many different things in the body and the mental health, especially.
Mm. I like what you said there about, you know, from talking to you in the last, as I said, the last time we recorded together, the whole way throughout, I could just see these two little girls, you being the protective sister. And I think that's what so much of your hurt was wrapped up in, the fact that you couldn't protect your little sister. And when you said those words there, that I see her, she's happy and safe. Like the word safe. You know, I can see why maybe that's what brings you some comfort, I suppose, is knowing that she's safe wherever she is. And, you know, that you carry that with you now, knowing that you're, although, of course, you want her here with you. But if you have that belief and sense that she is safe where she is and she's happy where she is, it probably helps you to live your life a little easier.
Yeah. And when you're saying that, I'd love to have her here with me, but because, and you'll understand this with your sister, when someone you love is so sick, because she was so sick, I would not wish her back that way. If her life was going to go the same way again, and I've accepted that she is, because Cathy, she was so bad with her mental health, like to hear her cry and stuff. And I know her kids have to go without parents and stuff, but without their mom, but she was tortured. She was absolutely tortured. And she wouldn't have had the same connection with her kids that she would have wanted. And that wouldn't have been fair on any of them. And where she is, as I said, I know she's safe. I don't have those bad dreams about her anymore that I used to have, that on one side I've Steph as an adult and one side Steph as a child, and both are screaming at me and I don't know which way to go. And all that has stopped in my head for me as well. It's acceptance, it really is.
That's so lovely. I feel like now as well for you, it's so different to anybody else, speaking to somebody else about traditions, because you didn't have your traditions in the first place. You know, it's so different for you not coming from that loving, kind, supportive family that a lot of people do come from. It's a very different journey. You now luckily have an incredible man by your side, you know, by all accounts. And again, I'm going back to that word safe. I feel like you're now safe again with a really great guy, and you've built your own life. You have your daughter and incredible life, and you're now heading to Bali. What is it that you're going to do yourself in your own way to celebrate Christmas with your new safe bubble?
I'm going to embrace Christmas Day, because it's going to be surreal this year. Like, I'm going to be in the airport heading to Bali on Christmas Eve. I'll be landing in Bali Christmas Day. So Peter has arranged for us, because I'm not bringing my engagement ring with me because I'm too afraid I'll lose it. So he's arranged for us to go ring making on Christmas Day. And it's in the jungle with this little Indonesian family. And it's just, he wanted to do something that was a bit family orientated as well, so we can be around people and have connection. And yeah, just going to go and enjoy it, and not like every other year, avoid it, embrace it, and just be grateful for it, you know, because at the end of the day, it is just another day too, you know, but it's an expensive day for a lot of people. But, and I know it can be quite sad for a lot of people. And what I used to feel over Christmas, you could have 100 people around you, but if it's not the person you want, it's even lonelier when there's more people there, when it's not the person you want. And as that's why I do feel that Christmas this year is going to be easier because the acceptance of Steph passing.
I'm laughing as well as you say it. It's just day. Well, another day in Bali, in Indonesia. For you. Make sure you send me a text and say, it's just another day, Kathy.
I win.
Finally, for somebody who's tuning in, who is in a really, really, really dark, low place, be it from any type of loss, what advice would you give them? You know, you're beaming when you come on screen. I know sometimes that's all, we don't know exactly what's going on in anyone's life, but I do know that you have worked so hard on your life, and you are living as healthily, mentally, physically, spiritually as possible. You're such an inspiration from what you came from. Oh my God. So many people don't survive that, as we were saying during the week. Somebody who's, in a really dark spot for whatever reason, what could you tell them that might bring them some hope?
Be kind to yourself and reach out. Don't hold anything in. And I know there's so much that it can be so hard to reach out. You think people don't want to help, people don't want to hear your problems, people have other stuff going on. That is a fact. Everybody has life going on. But there's so many people out there who care, so many people who want to help. Like your page, like anybody, just a message. And I know it can be so hard to get it out from the pit of your stomach, but by doing that, you're showing yourself so much love, so much care, so much kindness, and there's so much safety out in the world. And I know it doesn't seem like that when you're in a bad place, but the world is also a beautiful place, but you have to reach out and find it. There is a lot of love out there and a lot of care, but just trust yourself and reach out, and it will, the ripple effect, it'll all go the way it's supposed to go. But just don't be getting in your own way. Trust the process and be kind.
Yeah, it's so true. There is a lot of special, wonderful people in the world. There really is. Thank you for sharing with me today. It was a quick catch up. Like, listen, we could definitely do a 3-hour episode, no problem.
Yes.
First of all, I want to tell people that they can find you. You have your own podcast, Peter and Sophia Having the Chats.
Yeah, literally.
So I'll link it all in the notes and everything. And like I said, I'm so inspired by you all the time. You're a wonderful person. And you have a lot to share. You have a lot of inspiration and hope to give people, you know, as I said, to come from what you came from and still be and actually be thriving today, find love and live a happy life and go on to take on the world. I wish you nothing but the best in Bali and just continued love to you.
Kathy, thank you so much. And on behalf of everybody and for what you do for people who suffer with grief and the work you do and the time, I know the time and effort now it takes, and hats off to you, like, because you do it all yourself and you do it for everybody else. And your sister will be so proud of you. Thank you so much.
You make me cry now.
Good, because you do make me cry.
I know, I make everyone cry. Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.